Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. And it could be found this morning in the church Bibles on page 1061. And we'll pray as we come to God's word. We bow our heads before you, our almighty God, this morning, at your might, at your power, at your love, grace, and mercy and peace to people, Lord, throughout the world and to us here this morning. We want to thank you, Father, for the amazing day that we are celebrating. And I pray, Lord, that from the youngest to the oldest here today, we shall all gain insight and grasp the reality and the power of our great God who rose the Lord Jesus from the dead. And so we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Reading from verse 1 of chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning. We're going to look at those words together, Luke's account of that first Easter morning. But let me invite the children to come and join me up the front of this stage. There's loads of room. Growing up, some of you might want to come too. Come and find a seat down here on the floor. Great, well done. There's a bit more space. Fantastic. Well, I've got one main point this morning, and it's only three words, so it's easy to remember. Jesus is alive. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, we saw that coming. You know, it's Easter Sunday. What do you expect? There's nothing surprising there. But wait a minute. Because actually, the truth of those three words, Jesus is alive, is the most surprising, the most significant event in the whole of human history. Do you know what the Apostle Paul said about the resurrection? He said that if it's not true, if Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, if Jesus isn't alive today, then all of this is a waste of time. If it's not true, then coming to church this morning is a waste of time. We'd be better going to the beach at Lytham and enjoying the sunshine. If it's not true, then praying or singing hymns is a waste of time. Do you see how significant the resurrection of Jesus is? Well, why does it matter so much? Well, this morning we're going to see that truth, Jesus is alive, is significant in the past, in the present, and in the future. So firstly, Jesus is alive is a world-changing event in the past. See, this isn't a made-up story. Luke says that the account he writes is based on eyewitnesses, people who saw this for themselves. Yesterday I found this book on John's shelf. History, the really interesting bits. Great events that changed the world. And what Luke is saying is that Jesus' resurrection belongs in here. A fact of history. And actually, if there was only one event in this book, the most interesting bit of history, the event that most changed the world, it should be Jesus' resurrection. Now, let me make one thing really clear at this point. People don't rise from the dead, do they? Okay, once someone's died, they stay dead. That's how it works. And let's not make the mistake of thinking that back then, you know, before all the science and technology we've got now, people believed stuff like that. No, people didn't rise from the dead back then either. They never have. Actually, this is the last thing that people were expecting. On that Easter morning, everybody expected Jesus to be just where he was left, in the tomb. Think about the women as they walked to the tomb. What were they carrying in their hands? Anyone know? Yes, spices. Now, I doubt it was basil and caraway seeds and cloves, okay? But you get the point. They were carrying spices. Why were they carrying spices? Does anyone know? Yeah. Yeah, to put on the body, because dead bodies don't smell good. So they were going to embalm the body to make it smell nice. This was their final goodbye, really. The last job to do before they sealed up the tomb forever and moved on with their lives. They were not expecting Jesus not to be there, were they? They thought they'd be just where they left him. Or what about the 11 apostles waiting in Jerusalem? When the women rush back in and say, he's not there, the tomb is empty. How do they respond? Oh yeah, sure, we saw that coming, to be honest. No, they don't believe it, do they? They don't believe what they're hearing. In fact, Luke says their words seem like nonsense. And today, when we say, Jesus, though he died, came back to life, and is alive today, it sounds like nonsense, doesn't it? That doesn't happen. People don't do that. But actually, that's the point. That's why Jesus' resurrection is such a world-changing event. Nothing like it has ever happened before, or has ever happened since. That's why it's so world-changing. So here's a globe. Now, let this represent all people who've ever lived, okay? Wherever they live in the world, people who are alive today or have ever lived through history. Now, God says in the Bible that right at the beginning of human history, human beings chose to rebel against God, to go their way instead of his. And as a result, death entered the world. And the Bible describes death like a terrible blanket that covers over the whole world and makes its awful presence felt. And no one can escape it. Now, when we look at different people, we look at the differences, don't we? You know, so maybe they're tall and they're short, or they're rich and they're poor, or they're from Africa, they're from Asia, or they're famous and they're a nobody. We see differences, but actually, for all people, one thing is the same, isn't it? Every human being who's ever lives under the blanket of death. We can't escape it. And think about all these great events that have happened in history. There's some great stuff in here. There's the great pyramids of Egypt. The Aztecs and the finding of the Americas. The American Revolution. Maybe that wasn't such good news. Okay? Landing on the moon. But all of those events have taken place under the blanket of death, haven't they? All the people involved are dead and buried. But when Jesus rose from the dead, that Easter morning, he broke through the blanket of death and came out on the other side. And Jesus is the only human being who's ever gone through death and come out the other side with a body that death can't touch. Now, there's no point us trying to kind of draw parallels. You know, sometimes you hear stories, don't you, of someone who's been medically dead for 7 minutes and then gets resuscitated. Well, that doesn't help. It's not the same. No one has ever done what Jesus has done. And actually, that's the point. Now, it might be hard for us to get our heads around it, just like it was hard for Jesus' closest friends that first Easter morning. But it's a fact of history. And actually, when his friends realized that, their lives would change forever, weren't they? Because actually, that truth, Jesus is alive, isn't just a truth for the past. The second thing we see this morning is that Jesus is alive is a life-changing reality in the present. Now, where do you find people when they've died? Normally, you find them in you can find their bodies maybe in the graveyard or a crematorium. And actually, it doesn't really matter, does it, how rich or famous somebody was. Once someone's died, there you find them among the dead. So maybe they're a great writer. This is Shakespeare's grave. Or this next one is J.R.R. Tolkien, author of Lord of the Rings. Let's have the next one. This is Florence Nightingale's grave, who worked so well amongst those wounded soldiers. Let's keep going. This is Christopher Columbus's grave, who discovered the Americas. This is Henry Ford's grave, who built the first car. This is Muhammad's grave, or tomb, the founder of Islam. And this is Queen Victoria's tomb. Well, what about Jesus? Well, you could go to Jerusalem, and you could go to the Holy Sepulchre, the place historians believe to be his tomb. I've been there, actually. And let me give you the headline. There's nothing to see. It's empty. You won't find Jesus there. When the women got to the tomb, who met them at the tomb? Who was there? Yep. Angels, exactly. And let's read what the angels said to those two women. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. So Jesus is not in a tomb. He's not buried in the ground. He's not stuck, trapped in the history books. Jesus is alive. And actually this morning, by his Spirit, as we gather together in his name, Jesus is with us right now. Jesus is living, and that changes the way we relate to him, doesn't it? Now, I wonder if anyone likes statues. I've got a statue with me this morning. Actually, let me just move this out of the way. Okay, here he is. This is David. All right. Here he is. Okay. Now, let me be honest, he's not actually the original. Okay, that was too expensive. And I have added the shorts because he didn't come with any clothes on. Okay? But you can see his David, he's got his sling on his shoulder. Now, how do we relate to a statue? Well, maybe we look at him. Maybe we admire him. Maybe we study him. Maybe we're even inspired by him. You know, as we think back to great King David and how he defeated Goliath. But it's not really two-way with a statue, is it? You don't get a lot back. Okay, I need a volunteer. Matthew, well done, that was quick. Matthew, come and stand up here next to David. Thanks. Come this side. That's great. Now, you can see the obvious similarities, but there is a clear difference, isn't there? Matthew is living. And that means that actually you can talk with Matthew. It means you can hang out together. You could watch the football or go to the beach. It means that you can be friends with Matthew. It means actually if you're stuck and you need help, Matthew could come and help you, couldn't he? Do you see the difference? Okay, thanks Matthew, you can sit down. David, you stay there. Do you see the difference? How you relate to someone who's living is so different, isn't it? Now, Jesus is not a statue. Jesus is alive. And that means today we can have a living relationship with him. A two-way relationship. In fact, Jesus calls his followers friends. Now, and that means, doesn't it, we can talk to Jesus. We can pray to him. Actually, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whenever we want, we can talk to Jesus because he's alive. And it also means, as well as being able to pray to Jesus, it means that Jesus' power is at work in our lives today. As we've gone through Luke's gospel, we've met all these people whose lives have been completely changed by Jesus, people like Zacchaeus. Well, Jesus is alive, and that means he's still at work in our lives today. He can be changing our lives. And we can also know Jesus' presence. Yes, he's in heaven, but he's really with us by his Spirit. He's with us in the ups and downs. He can be with us when no one else is. Now, I wonder if some of us relate to Jesus a bit like a statue. You know, we admire him, we study him, maybe we're inspired by him, but it's not really two-way. As we find out about Jesus in the Bible at All Saints, it's a bit like finding out about the Tudors at school. It's all stuck in the past. Jesus is not a statue. He's alive. And he calls us into real relationship with him. Living relationship. He's alive, which means we can speak to him in prayer. We can know his power in our lives. We can know his presence. Do you see why the resurrection matters so much? Jesus is alive today. And that means that we can know him. If actually, as you reflect this morning, your interaction with Jesus is more like just a figure from history, please don't leave it like that. He's alive. It can be so much more. And actually, this Easter Sunday, he invites you into living relationship with him as your living Lord. So it matters. It matters in the past. It matters in the present. And finally, Jesus is alive is a game-changing hope for the future. Right, I'm going to put David away. Now, I expect that some of you have been wondering what this wall is all about. Okay, I need a couple of volunteers. Okay, Seth, why don't you come up, and Anna. Okay, great, thank you. Now, what I want you to do is come up to this big wall, okay, and see if you can see any way through it. You know, is there a door? Is there a big hole for you to crawl through, Seth? Is there any way through? Is there a big hole or a door that goes through? What do you think? No. What do you think, Seth? Is there a door there, a way through? No. Great, you can sit down. Thank you both very much. Okay. Well, death is like this wall. It's a great barrier awaiting us all with no way through. A great wall in the future that we can't get through on our own. Growing up, I used to play video games, and at the end of each level, there was a boss. And at the end of the whole game was this kind of final boss. Well, the final boss all of us will have to face in life is death. And no one has ever got past. And some of us might be, you know, death awaits us all, and some of us might be very aware of that as death approaches. Some of us are young, death seems a long way away. But actually, death will come to all of us, and we've got no hope on our own. We might reach out for sentiments. You know, I might say, it'll be okay, I'll just be in the next room. But what do I base that on? That's not hope, is it? That's wishful thinking. We need a solid hope. We need someone to deal with death for us. Okay. That is what Jesus has done in his resurrection. Okay? You'll certainly remember it. He has smashed through death and come out the other side. Now, Seth and Anna, why don't you come back up? Okay? Why don't you come back up? Okay, is there a way through now, Seth? Why don't you come back through now with Mark? That's it. Go on, Seth, you can get through there, can't you? Well done. Well done. Great, thank you guys. You can all come and sit down. Well done. Thanks, Mark. Do you see what Jesus has done? He has blazed a way through death. He's smashed through it and come out the other side. And actually, if we are with Jesus, if we are in him, then we can follow him through death. Jesus' promise is that if we are in him, then we will be raised and we'll be given a resurrection body like his, a body that death cannot touch. So we don't have to be scared of death anymore because Jesus has smashed through it. And if we're with him, he can take us with him to the other side. Do you see why these three words matter so much? Jesus is alive. See, brothers and sisters, we are not wasting our time as we gather here on Easter morning because Jesus is alive. It's a world-changing event in the past, a life-changing reality in the present, and a game-changing hope for the future. Now, this morning, if you're not in Christ, if you're not with him in living relationship with him, please do something about it. Because there is no way through death without him. If you are in Jesus this morning, what great news we have this Easter day. Jesus is alive. Our King lives today. It's something worth singing about, isn't it? And we're going to sing a song called Mighty Saviour. See, actually, all of us face two great enemies, sin and death. But in Jesus' death and resurrection, he has beaten them for us. He's a mighty Saviour. Let's get up on our feet to sing together.